Millions of people struggle with addictions. And all of us are affected by addictions in one way or another. Maybe you've struggled with an addiction in your life, or you have a loved one who is an addict. It's impacted your relationship with them. Addictions come in all forms, but do you know the most prevalent addictions in the U.S.? You might be surprised at a couple of the ones that are in the top five. I'll tell you what they are coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Josh Raymond.
Hello and happy Thursday to you. Glad to have you along for this hour of spiritual direction on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. So the American Society of Addiction Medicine defines addiction as a chronic disease that affects the brain's reward, motivation, and memory functions. Someone with an addiction, they'll crave a substance or other behavioral habits. They'll often ignore other areas of life in order to fulfill or support their desires. And again, most of us have probably seen that in one way or another, in our own lives or in the life of someone we love and we care about. I don't think it'll come as any surprise to you that the top two most common substances associated with addictions are, first of all, alcohol. That's the top one. Over 10% of the U.S. population falls into the category of addiction related to alcohol. The second most common substance is nicotine. Almost 24 million people in the U.S. struggle with a nicotine addiction. These numbers, by the way, they come from a national survey conducted in 2020 by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So then coming in at number three is marijuana. According to the data, about 5% of our country's population, over 14 million people, are considered to have an addiction problem with marijuana. So far, these substances might not surprise you, you know, when we're talking about addictions. But the next two categories here that round out the top five addictions in the U.S., they aren't substances. They're behavioral. According to data from the National Center for Biotechnology Information, the fourth most prevalent addiction in America is associated with pornography. And then the last of those top five addictions, almost 10 million people in our country, they struggle with a gambling addiction. Now, these last two categories, again, they're behavioral. They deal in the realm of psychological dependence or psychological addiction. The compulsion is mental and emotional, and I find it quite honestly interesting that for all five of these addictions, the access to the drug of choice, and I'm lumping in pornography and gambling as addictive drugs here, but all five of these are accessible legally in one way or another in our country. But even though all five are legally accessible, there's only one that still remains very heavily disputed as having any sort of addictive properties, and that's pornography. Kind of reminds me years ago about the tobacco companies attempting to deny there was any link between smoking and cancer, or trying to say that certain kinds of cigarettes were less likely to cause cancer than other cigarettes. Well, pornography companies, they try and deny that there is any problem with their product. They attempt to tell you that no one is addicted to it, that no one is hurt using pornography, that it's all healthy, it's all good. But let's be honest, that is a lie. All you have to do is look at the real data. There are indeed millions of people in the U.S. addicted to pornography. That's not a made-up statistic. That's why there are groups all around the country of Sex Addicts Anonymous or Sexaholics Anonymous. And then beyond the addiction, there are all kinds of people hurt by the porn industry itself. Human trafficking, this is a real crime that happens all around us. There have been numerous documentaries that are filmed about the coercive nature of the porn industry and the way that it uses people. And there's much more that I could go into. There's much worse that I could get into here, but that's not the reason I'm talking about this. My real reason to bring this into the conversation today, the problem of pornography in our country, in our entire world, is to say, well, there is an answer. There is hope. There is a way to reclaim purity in your life. Yeah, we need to be aware of the reality of the sin, the temptation of lust that we can face, but it's more important for us to have a proper understanding of human sexuality, of relationships so that we can enter into those areas in the way that God actually designed for us, not the way that's perpetrated out there in some stripped down, made up, warped fantasy. So today we want to spend this hour talking about how we can grow in the virtue of chastity. And I'm very glad to welcome back to the program today Father Eric Nielsen. Father Eric is a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, the pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And you made the drive here a couple hours to come see us in our studios here in the Chicago area. I'm glad to have you in the studio with me, Father.
I'm very happy to be here, Josh. I got a little tour just before I came in, so Nick gave me a little tour. It's a beautiful building. I can't wait to see it completely finished.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to get you back here a few more times over the next year and in the building. So chastity. It's a virtue, and I always like to define terms at the beginning of the conversation so that we have a common place that we're starting from. So can you help us understand, when we talk about a virtue, what do we mean?
You know, Josh, just to come back to a little bit of what you were saying before, I'm curious as to what their definition of an addiction would be, because in my pastoral practice, you know, I come across people who are addicted to alcohol, addicted to marijuana, you know, addicted to nicotine, but the people addicted to pornography far outnumber.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's just been my experience. So I wonder how they defined an addiction.
Right, how they quantified who fell into that category pornography or sexual addictions of some nature.
Yeah, I would say it's much broader than they think, especially, you know, sometimes people think it's a man's problem, but many, many women are addicted to pornography as well. They have slightly different emotional reasons for it, but they fall addicted to it. So virtue, what is a virtue? A virtue is a habit that allows us to choose the good easily. And in the broad sense of the term, if you're a carpenter, you have the virtue of carpentry. You can make something very easily, very well, without a lot of effort. And so in our conversation today, the virtue that we're looking for is the virtue of chastity, which is a subset of the virtue of temperance, which is the ability for you to integrate your sexuality within yourself so that you can easily use your body in an appropriate way to love another person freely.
And when you talk about this habit, this practiced behavior, one of the things I always like to bring out from that is it means it's going to take work. You will have to put effort into it. There's not going to be, okay, I want to be chaste, so I've made the mental, the intellectual decision, the assent, and it will just happen for me now. Of course not. You know, there's going to take that effort and that work.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you want to have the habit of being a good golfer, that's going to take a lot of work, right? And chastity requires this virtue of self-mastery. You know, we are, in order to be free, and chastity is what gives us the ability to be free so that when we use our body to love, it's loved out of freedom, not out of compulsion. And so that's what we want to do within a married couple when they engage in marital relations. They want to do that freely, out of love. If it's done out of compulsion, it becomes more like what animals do. And so this goal then with chastity is the goal of self-mastery, so that we master our feelings and our impulses and become free rather than having them master us and we become slaves to these desires.
What would you say to somebody who, you know, as you're saying, we master ourselves, we are then in control of our passions, our desires, if they say, well, you're just talking about repressing sexuality, you know, it's healthy for us to be sexual individuals, that's how we were created, so you're just talking about ignoring or denying that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes people do that, and so it's very unhealthy to repress or, you know, push back any feeling or desire that we have, because it'll start to pop up in other ways, and it's very psychologically distressful. So what we're talking about here is not suppressing our desires. What we're talking about here is integrating them within us so that we can rise above them, so that we use our desires in the right way at the right time. Let's just talk about anger. You're a parent and a child does something that makes you angry. Well, if you just give free rein to your anger, who knows what you're going to do to that child?
Right.
You know, so what you want to do is recognize your anger, channel it in the right way so that you can discipline that child in the right way at the right time in the appropriate manner. And so that's what we're doing with all of our feelings. And because of original sin, we've lost the integrity that we had at what Adam and Eve had in the garden. So they had the gift of integrity. So they only had the appropriate feeling at the right time in the right way of the right person. Well, we've lost that with original sin. So our feelings don't always line up with what's appropriate. And so that's what we're learning to do.
You talked about, you know, in the confessional that you hear more about sexual and pornography sins than you hear about any other addiction out there. I remember speaking with other priests, and one in particular who I said, yeah, do you, you know, it somehow came up in conversation about pornography. And I said, oh, do you hear that a lot in the confession without, you know, breaking the seal? He said, oh, Josh, it's an epidemic. It's just constant. It's nonstop. So from your perspective then, how do you talk to, I was going to say a generation, but more than a generation. I mean, you're talking about that this is impacting society at large. How do you talk to such a large population about the need? And I'm sure that most people would say, well, yeah, if I am struggling with pornography, I know I shouldn't be doing it, especially if I'm a Catholic, if I'm someone who claims to be a follower of Christ. I know I shouldn't be doing that, but then I fall back into that. How do you get out of that kind of self-defeating cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question. We need to address this as a church because this is an epidemic that is destroying the spiritual life, because without purity, the virtue of purity, you cannot see God, and it destroys the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person's soul. And the first thing we have to realize is that God does not want us to be addicted to pornography. And since God does not want us to be addicted to pornography, he'll give anybody who wants it the grace to overcome it. And so you just have to have that firmly planted in your heart. And the most important thing, I'm just going to get a little far afield here. There's a lot of reasons why somebody might be addicted to pornography and what they might have to overcome. They might have some wounds in their life as a young child that they're wrestling with. They might have an addiction that was just given to them at a young age. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why people fall into it. But the number one thing that a person has to have in order to overcome it is the desire to want to overcome it. You just really have to make that your number one desire in your spiritual life, is I have to rid this from my soul. And I just tell people to start, and it's worked for a number of people. You're not going to overcome this without God's grace. It's going to take your effort mixed with God's grace. So just simply start by saying three Hail Marys every night on your knees, begging God for the gift of purity. And just beg God for that gift of purity. It will not be enough prayer, but it'll be a good start. You will instantly start to get better, and you'll start to leverage it into the other things that you need to do.
You mentioned a couple things I'd like to go back to, and both of them tie into words that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. The first thing you said was, if we are lacking purity, we can't see God. That's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. When we talk about being able to see God, how do we, if we found ourselves where there is that lack of purity in our lives, starting with those Hail Marys each evening, what are some other ways that we can be able to say, I want to give up the sin that I enjoy? And that's one of the key things there. Do I enjoy the sin more than I enjoy being free of that sin? How do I give up that sin that I enjoy and really embrace purity, that internal aspect of, the internal that then becomes the outward living of chastity?
Yeah, and so that's really where it comes down to, because it's really, when you're addicted to pornography, that's a source of joy for you. It's a source of pleasure. It fills a hole and a gap in your life. And it would be great if, you know, you just gave it up for a week and God instantly filled that hole and that gap with you. But it doesn't, most people don't experience it that way.
Right, right.
You know, so you have to just, if you will, live in that emptiness for a while. And what it's going to take is the intellectual understanding that your salvation is at stake in overcoming this, and that your ability to love, which is the goal of human existence, is at stake. when you are addicted to pornography, it erodes your ability to love another person. And it takes away the joy that you should have. It's like, in a certain sense, it's like people that give up smoking, suddenly they find out food tastes a lot better than it used to taste.
Right.
It's the same when you give up pornography. Suddenly life just takes on a whole new meaning, becomes much more interesting and enjoyable. And so that's what you're missing out on. You have to just plant it in your head. I want that. I want purity because I want to see God. I want to go to heaven. I want to be able to love my wife, love my husband, and I want to be free of this addiction that's holding me back from enjoying the world the way I need to enjoy it.
So the other thing, you know, the you beg God for that gift of purity. You ask him for his grace, as you said, to be free from that addiction, that compulsion. And one of the other things that I was thinking, this is where Jesus is talking about adultery in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the same chapter, you know, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we had that beatitude there, the pure in heart shall see God. We're in the exact same fifth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, and Jesus uses some extraordinarily strong language here when he talks about adultery and lust. He says, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And this is the part that I want to get your take on. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. And then he goes on to say, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. And so we can, you know, talk about, well, Jesus is being hyperbolic here. You know, he's going kind of over the top to emphasize the seriousness of this. But in essence, he's saying you might need to take some very serious or some very drastic measures to ensure that you don't fall into this sin. So how do we, you know, I mean, I don't see any really people walking around with only one eye or one hand in our society. What are some of those drastic steps that we might need to take in our lives, both interior and exteriorly, that would allow us to really embrace what Jesus is saying here?
I mean, that's exactly right. He is speaking in hyperbole, but it's hyperbole for a point. Whatever it takes to remove that sin from your life, you should do. So if your cell phone is a problem, then you should get rid of your cell phone. You should just use a simple flip phone. If your computer is your problem, you need to put some sort of software on it or only use it in a public place. If you have some wound in your life that you're trying to fill, then you're going to need to find some psychological help in order to address that wound. It could get to the point where, I'm going to join Sexaholics Anonymous, you know, go through a 12-step program. And if that doesn't work, I might just even check myself into a clinic and go through some program that I checked myself into. I mean, whatever it takes to overcome this, you want to do it. And so that's, you know, I'm a big fan of, if you have a smartphone, of using the iPhone rather than an Android. Because on the iPhone, you can have a friend put a 4-digit code on that phone, and you can eliminate your complete ability to look at pornography.
Oh, right. Yes, I've heard others talk about this, where you can actually put a security code for safe search.
Yep.
That you know, anything that would be deemed unsafe adult material, I use that in very, you know, sarcastic quotes, adult material, but any of that can be locked away from you, and you don't have access to it. So yeah, if somebody else locks it, they have the code. That's a great suggestion.
I've done that in the confessional for guys.
Oh, wow.
You know, just boom, put the code on, and all suddenly they're not, you know, you if you're addicted to pornography and you take your cell phone into your bedroom with you, that's kind of like a man addicted to alcohol taking a bottle of Jim Beam into his bedroom with him. Yeah. Or, you know, like just going into bed with a woman. You know, it's
I hope nothing will happen. I mean, I know it's right here, but I'm hoping nothing will happen. You're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, exactly. And it shows you, and this is the thing about this, and everybody who's listening realize, at the bottom of your heart is original sin. And then this sin just gets, it's a deep, deep root that goes right to the bottom of your heart. And you just have to recognize that the very bottom of your heart is a real desire to watch this. As much as you don't want to watch it, there's this really deep desire that's just really hard to eradicate. And that's why you're going to need help to overcome it. You know, you're going to have to be on your knees begging God for the grace And then whatever our Lord inspires you to do, you have to put that into action.
Well, and one of the things that, you know, why do people crave that? Going to the root, you know, again, as you said, there could be many reasons that people fall into that. But a lot of it's going to come down to we desire intimacy and we're looking for it in a completely warped, perverted way. We want intimacy. We want relationship in our lives and we're seeking it out. Maybe we can pick up on that in just a moment, Father. Need to take a break here, but want to open up the phone lines. If you're listening and maybe you are someone who struggles in this area of being pure, of being chaste in your life, and you've tried again and again and again, and you're looking for some help on how you can grow in purity, in chastity, how you can overcome that sin of lust in your life, you're welcome to call in and speak with Father Eric Nielsen. Our phone number here into the studio, 888-914-9149. Maybe you've been able to overcome that that addiction to pornography, some of the different things that had a hold on you in your life. How were you able to break free from that addiction in your life? What are some of the things that have helped you? We'd love to hear how God has been able to work in your life so that you have been able to grow in those virtues of purity and chastity. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Back in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by St. Gregory Recovery Center, helping you or a loved one live a substance-free life. Information at relevantradio.com/Gregory. That's relevantradio.com/Gregory. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond. Hope your Thursday is going well. Today, talking with Father Eric Nielsen. He is the pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison, talking about virtues of chastity and purity today here on The Inner Life, and inviting you to call in. Our phone number into the studio, 888-914-9149. Maybe chastity, purity is something you struggle with in your life. You'd like some advice, some insight, some encouragement on how you can grow in those virtues. You're welcome to talk with Father Eric. Maybe you've been able to make progress, have success. You know, in the past, that was a struggle for you. You've been able to really see God help you, give you that grace to grow in those virtues. We'd love to hear how God has worked in that way. Some of the maybe the strategies that you've put in place in your own life that have guarded you against falling into that temptation of lust. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. And Father, we do have phone calls I want to get to in a moment, but before the break mentioned that a lot of times when there is, you know, you're seeking something, you're enjoying that, you know, the self-gratification, looking at pornography, that there can be, you're searching for intimacy and you're just looking in the wrong place. During the break, you and I talked about, well, there could be that, but there's also something else that's at play here.
Yeah, what it is we just, you know, besides eating and drinking and sleeping, we just have a desire, a deep desire to procreate, just to have children. And that's at the bottom of this. And so it's a natural human desire that we need because we need to have children, right? It's just, the thing is, it's just not needed for everybody to do it and not everybody all the time, obviously. So this is, you know, I heard once too about culture. Culture is how you have children and how you eat. And those are, and regulating those things is what makes for a healthy culture. Mm. And we don't regulate those things very well in our culture.
No, you're exactly right. You know, as you talk about that, how you define culture, how you eat, and how you have children, I mean, boy, we really, I guess there's two things. First of all, there's not the shame around gluttony in our culture that there is around sexual promiscuity or overindulgence. And we have both of those that are just said, again, overindulge, just go for it.
Yeah, there's no guardrails on it. There's no cultural mores anymore. And there's no shame. I mean, at least on the college campus, there's no shame about watching pornography and masturbating. There's just no shame about that. In fact, I know guys that are more shameful because you don't do that. If you're living in a house with guys and you don't do that, you're considered the weird guy. Mm. And so, you know, the training wheels, the guardrails are just completely gone on both of those things.
How do we go back? Can we go back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think we go back the way the early Christians went back, and it just goes back to having very healthy families. And just couples just really developing the gift of self-mastery within themselves and teaching it to their children. Mm-hmm. That's going to save the world. I mean, you have 9 children.
Yeah.
You raising them in purity and self-control and discipline, you know, in a healthy way, you know, not just, you know, putting a straitjacket on them, but just helping them to choose the good.
Yeah.
Your family's going to change the world.
Yeah. Some of that is just, I mean, we, you know, it's almost impossible to have kids and not have them with smartphones, but those smartphones are only allowed in common areas. Sorry, can't have them in the bedroom.
Yeah, I would say if I had a kid, I'd give a smartphone to my child. I'd give them an iPhone, you know, 14, 15, and I would put a code on it and they'd have 5 apps and that's it. And because you can restrict their ability to download apps.
Yeah.
Give them maps, chat, whatever your 5 apps are, that's all you get. And then that's the way it's going to be when you turn 18 too. When you have the money to go out and buy your own cell phone, well, then you can do what you want.
I know.
And then the other thing too is, hey, guess what? Mom put a code on my phone and I have a code on mom's phone.
Oh.
Because we all watch each other here.
Yeah.
You know, just to say that there's no shame in this. You know, we all kind of need to watch each other because it's an evil world out there, and we need help. We need guardrails.
I think that's also a really good point, that we don't pretend that we are stronger than we are. You know, we don't give ourselves this false assurance that, oh, I'll be okay. I don't need that. Yeah. But, you know, all of us are susceptible.
Absolutely. You know, and parents do this all the time. They come to me, oh, my kids. I mean, I hear confessions, so I know this. I don't care if you're praying 4 rosaries a day with your boyfriend. You put a man and a girl alone in a room with a bottle of wine that love each other, all bets are off. I would not be surprised a baby comes out 9 months later. Uh-huh. That's just human nature. Yep. And parents just think their kids are angels. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, he's on vacation while they're good kids. You're nuts. You know, it used to be, Father Peter Armino told me this, in the 50s, up until the 50s, there were villages in southern Italy where if you went outside the village with a boy for more than 2 hours, you had to marry him when he came back. Oh. It was just an understood thing.
It was
just an understood thing. You know, that's why we used to chaperone people all the time. You just weren't, you know, we realized this is a strong desire that we've got here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very strong desire. And to think that we just have the ability to control this without guardrails is nuts. I put up guardrails in my life all over the place. St. Aloysius, one of the greatest, the guardrails he put in his life, he served the queen of whatever, Italy, whatever, never looked at her face.
Really?
Yeah, he just was really wanted to guard his purity.
Mm. Oh, well, that goes back to those words of Jesus. You know, you're going to have to take some drastic measures. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. What are you willing to do to achieve and maintain purity and chastity in your life?
And it's all through Paul's letters too, if you read them. It's all about gaining self-mastery. And self-mastery, for the most part, is food and your sexual desire.
Yeah.
That's what and we don't master any of those.
Well, keep trying, though. Keep trying. Phone number to call into the studio, 888-914-9149, to talk with Father Eric Nielsen, how we can grow in chastity, how we can grow in purity. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. Father Robert is calling in, listening in New York. Robert, welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Eric.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, great. I'm just wondering how Father Eric would address a single person who's, you know, remaining chaste in relationships, but, you know, for many reasons is not married and not able yet to find someone. You talked about integrating the sexual desire. How would you apply that to a single person who doesn't have any sexual outlet? How would you address how we could manage that?
Yeah, great question, Robert. And I think you're actually in a very, very good place to totally integrate the sexual desire, because it has no real outlet, so to speak. And so what this means for you is you're living a life of prayer. You're praying your rosary every day. You're asking our Lord for purity. You're getting control of your other appetites. You get up on time. You eat moderately. Maybe you fast a little bit on Fridays. Fasting is a great aid to being able to control your sexual desires. And then you're not afraid of your sexual desires. I mean, when they show up, they don't bother you. You know, you're not like, oh my goodness. You know, they're going to rise and they're going to fall. And when they rise very strongly, you just have to realize, okay, it is going to pass over time. And what we do then for yourself is you avoid, you know, looking at alluring images. You know, even to look on the internet, like when you see something like, you know, the most beautiful actresses of the 20th century, you know, you're just not going to look at that. You know, it's just not going to take you in a good direction. And through these habits, what's going to happen is your sexual desires, when they show up, are not going to affect your actions. So that's what you're looking at. To be integrated with your sexuality is that your sexual desires do not adversely affect what you choose to do. And over time, if you continue to pray and mortify yourself, you'll obtain the ability to be free of those desires. That can happen, and it will happen if you just really live a life of prayer and asceticism.
Mm. As you're talking about that life of prayer and asceticism, you know, one of the things that might be good to talk about here is, again, the timeline. When someone starts praying to overcome some vice in their life, some sort of failing, and they're trying to grow in a virtue, starting off with prayer, that's foundational, but then not getting discouraged if you're still struggling in that area, even months down the road, even a couple of years, give yourself time, because it's going to be gradual. And God knows the timing that He wants in your life, where, because if you get free too easily, you might get self-reliant and think, look what I did, as opposed to, I struggled. And I remember my dad talking about this even with smoking cigarettes, where he said, I tried again and again and again and again to give up smoking. And it was only when I turned in prayer, and right when I needed to, that was where God allowed me to be free of that addiction of smoking. So understanding that it might take a long time, but not to give up, not to despair.
Yeah, I would say, I always tell people, look, die with your boots on. You know, if you're struggling with masturbation, pornography, and you die struggling against it, you know, we have a very merciful God. Excuse me, and He knows that we're weak. And so just don't give up. You just don't want to die giving up, trying to struggle against it. I think I have good probability you'll be saved. But at the same time, let's not be too easy on ourselves.
Right.
There's no reason why you cannot overcome this in a year, unless you've got some deep psychological issue. You know, there's some abuse or something going on
sure.
in your life that just makes it very difficult. But a normal person who's had a normal, healthy life and had good parents, if you're addicted to this, you should be able to overcome this in a year. Now, most of you probably won't, because our wills just aren't that strong and we get distracted. I kind of don't want to overcome it. But don't get discouraged. Just keep going and die with your boots on if you have to.
Father, let's go back to the phones. Again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. Still have a couple open phone lines if you'd like to call in and talk with Father Eric here today. And Maggie is listening in Illinois. Hi, Maggie. How are you able to find freedom from that sin of lust, be able to grow in purity and holiness?
Well, you know, before I was Catholic, I never even thought that there was a problem, you know. And then I go, oh, yeah, there is something here that I need to take care of. And that led me eventually to understanding about the theology of the Bible, theology of the body that John Paul II did. And anyway, then I was praying, and I had a difficult time. And I thought, like, other people, that I'm never going to get rid of this because I lack purity. And so I brought it to confession, and I brought it to confession again and again. And finally I was told that it was suggested to me that I fast, that I give up something. So I did. I gave up soda pop. And it made all the difference. And it made all the difference because as my head was thinking, oh, I want a soda. I want a pop. I'd have to go, no, you can't do that. And so it's like my brain, I had to tell my brain, no, you can't do that. And just setting up that pattern made it so I could sort of switch it over to sex and love, lust, and go, oh, no, you're not going to do that.
It's a beautiful story, Maggie. So and then it went away pretty soon. How long did it take after you started doing that?
How long? Oh, when I started fasting?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was almost instantaneously.
Wow, great, great.
It was like, it was over. And it hasn't been even over a year since this has happened. So, and I still don't, you know, I don't trust myself. I keep turning again to God about this.
No good, exactly.
I don't want to fall again.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to fall again because I know that's my weakness and that's what Satan goes for. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Don't trust yourself. No, especially if something kind of really distressing happens in your life and you're weak. You know, Megan, that's been my experience too with a lot of women. You know, it's easier for them to overcome it if, you know, for most women, three Hail Marys at night, begging the Lord for purity, saying a good rosary, and fasting on Fridays a little bit. To tell you the truth, I've never known a woman to do that that didn't really have that difficulty go away rather quickly. So there's a lot of help. That's just been my experience. I don't know if it's universal or not.
Well, Maggie, thanks for calling in. And again, I'm going to throw out the phone number, 888-914-9149. As today we're talking about how to grow in those virtues of chastity and purity. Here on The Inner Life, speaking with Father Eric Nielsen, the pastor of the St. Paul University Catholic Center on the campus of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And again, if you've had that success, maybe like Maggie, what has worked in your life? We'd love to hear how you might be able to encourage others who are struggling. Maybe they were where you were in your life, and you can give them a bit of advice on what has helped you. Maybe you're stuck in that sin right now, that sin of lust, that temptation that constantly is impacting you, and it feels like there's no way out, and you'd like to speak with Father Eric. The phone number to join us, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. The program continues in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help with this year's health insurance open enrollment. They offer individual, couple, and family options to best fit your needs. Before January 15th, visit relevantradio.com/forester. Thank you for being a part of The Inner Life today here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Having a very good conversation here about how we can grow in two specific virtues, purity and chastity, talking with Father Eric Nielsen. He is a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, and also taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. Thanks to Thomas Engesser, who is screening all the phone calls that come in, Nick Sentovich producing the program today. And again, that phone number, if you'd like to join the program, 888-914-9149. Father, before we go back to the phones, one of the things we were talking about during the break is the fact that there can be a lot of shame associated with sins of lust, but you even said that's going away on the college campus, that, you know, you're seeing that there really isn't that shame associated with it. But it's also important to talk about the fact that this can feel like such a severe sin. We have this kind of puritanical background, this undergirding of our country that we've all kind of grown up and inherited by virtue of being Americans. But there are sins, and this is not to downplay the seriousness of any sin, but there are sins that are more serious than sexual sins.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting to bring up the Puritans, because the Puritans kind of got rid of the idea that greed was a sin. You know, for the Puritans, you know, making money was a sign of God's success.
Oh.
You know, blessing on you.
Right.
And so we have taken away the wheels completely off on making money. Making money and having money, as long as you give a little percentage away, you know, go for it. And the love of money just really shrinks people's heart. And it's really hard to repent from the love of money. Whereas sexual sins, they're easily forgiven because they're not malicious. They're just sins of weakness. And so I think God is very, especially in living in the culture that we are right now, we have to understand that a lot of people just didn't really choose to have these sins. They were just almost thrust upon them, you know, in grade school, suddenly they started seeing stuff.
Yeah, so. Right. Well, and that's, if somebody's listening right now, there's nothing more important that they hear than there is the mercy of God that is available and God wants to forgive them.
Exactly. God is very merciful. He wants forgiving. He wants to pull you out of this little cesspool that you might be in. And no matter how bad it is in your mind or how long you've been in it, God wants to pull you out of it. And, you know, his forgiveness is total. And so it's really not hard to really seek forgiveness for this sin and to really repent. It's not really hard to repent from the sin because unlike money, usually when people fall into the sin, they repent from it right away.
Yeah.
It's such a hold on us. It's just so easy to fall back into it. You know, that's the thing about this sin. It's just has its tenacious grips on you because like I said before, at the very basis, we have this desire to reproduce.
There's that compulsion.
Compulsion. And that's just not going away.
Yeah.
You know, that's just human nature.
Father, let's go to the phones again. Melissa, who's calling in from Philadelphia. Hi, Melissa. You're on the air with Father Eric.
Thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to share a story about my journey with chastity and perhaps ask Father for some words of encouragement. I'm a single woman in my 40s, and I had strayed for the church for a while, was raised Catholic, and then I came back to it about 10 years ago, and I've been growing in my faith. And I met a wonderful man about a year ago, and we've been dating, have a wonderful relationship. We were having premarital sex, and I it started to bother my conscience. And basically, I ended up going on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje last fall, and I knew that having premarital sex was a sin, but I didn't know that it was a mortal sin. And that really, really, like, struck me. And I panicked, basically, because I had learned that you don't choose to go to hell. I mean, it's basically the actions on earth that make you decide when you die if you're going to go to hell or heaven, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I came back from my trip and I told my boyfriend that I wanted to be chaste, and he's not Catholic. And he ended the relationship, not right away, but he ended the relationship recently. And so I'm very upset and I'm very sad, but I don't regret what I did. So I was just, I guess, wanted to share my story and realize that maybe I had to, like, you know, not necessarily lose an eye, but lose this person in order to keep this virtue. So I just wanted to share that story and maybe receive any words of encouragement or anything that you would like to offer.
Yeah, Melissa, I can just sense the pain in your heart, too, because it's not so much perhaps that you miss him. I mean, you do, I'm sure of it. It's just that you were created and meant to have a man in your life and to have that union, and now that's suddenly not a possibility for you. At least it doesn't look like it'll be a possibility in the near future. And so that's what you're mourning there. But you have to say, your reward is going to be great in heaven, Melissa. When you get to heaven and God rewards you for taking the stand with this man, you're not going to be upset that this guy, you know, took a hike on you and left you kind of, you know, standing there alone. He's a very, very generous God. And you want to meditate on heaven and know that you're going to get that reward. And secondly, if this man wasn't capable of staying with you in the middle of this, he didn't really have the capacity to love you as a person. He loved you as an ability to gratify a need that he had. In other words, he saw you as an object. And no human being is meant to be treated just merely as an object. And so you lucked out there by not tying yourself down to a man that probably in the end might not even have been capable of loving you. So you dodged a bullet, and you're going to get a great reward in heaven for this. But at the same time, the pain in your heart is real. That just doesn't go away overnight. And you can offer up that pain to our Lord. you know, Lord, why, you know, I want this. I don't have it, but your will be done.
You know, the other thing that I remember hearing from numerous people that they might have been in a dating relationship and maybe they weren't Catholic at the time or they weren't practicing their faith and they were dating somebody who was very engaged in their faith. And that person said, you know, I feel like I need to break this off because we're not on the same page here. And that made such a difference for the person who got dumped because they said, you know, why would somebody's faith, why would their belief in Christ have such a strong impact on them when we seem to have this really good thing going on here? And so I guess the other thing I would say, you know, Father, as you're saying, this man might not have been at the point where he could love Melissa the way that she deserved and needed to be loved, that by Melissa's actions, she might have started, you know, been that catalyst for this man to somewhere down the line be able to encounter Christ in a deeper way.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah.
Father, getting short on time, want to try and get one more phone call in here. Paige calling in from Minnesota. Paige, welcome to The Inner Life. Glad to have you on the show.
Hi, thanks. Hi, Father Nielsen. I've struggled with addiction all my life in various arenas. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on 12-step programs for people who seem to be addicted. And I don't know if you're familiar with like the literature that 12-step programs keep, but it's basically like you choose your own higher power. It's very open to different faiths. Is that dangerous for a Catholic to attend and pray with other people?
No, I think they're awesome. I think they're great. I would stay away from mixed sex self-help 12-step programs. Try to find a 12-step program where it's a single sex and it's run by somebody who's Catholic or at least a very devout Christian. And I think they've helped a lot of people. And I know some priests that work in this say it's pretty much the only way for a lot of people to overcome their addictions.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan.
Yeah, great question, Paige. Thanks for calling in. Father, other resources that you might recommend outside of 12-step programs for somebody who is wanting to overcome this temptation, this sin of lust?
Yeah, there's a great program. It costs a little money, and I don't make any money off of this, but it's called Optimal Work, and it's developed by a Catholic psychologist. And what it does is it trains people's minds to stay focused on what they need to do. And it really helps people become very successful in education and in the workforce because our minds are so scattered nowadays. And it just really trains people just to focus. And he claims that anybody that does his program will stop any addiction that they have just because their minds are trained just to focus on what is true and good and just really to push away the distractions. And if you think about it, pornography is a distraction. You know, you're trying to go to bed, you're trying to do your work, and suddenly this pornography idea pops in your head. They also have another website called Purity as Possible. So I'd recommend, you know, that as well. But just to get back to what I said very at the beginning, there's a lot of things out there to help people overcome this. The most important thing is you just have to want to overcome it. So when you say those three Hail Marys that night before you go to bed on your knees, just from the bottom of your heart, beg the Virgin Mary to give you, to pray for you, to have a gift of the Holy Spirit so that you'll want to overcome this and have the grace to do it.
A lot of times you said it is possible for the individual, if they truly desire that within a year they should be able to overcome this. What if there is something where they do need to seek counseling? How do you know if you're at a point where you need to seek professional help?
Yeah, that's what I think. If you're not overcoming this, you know, relatively within a year, I think you just and you've got something in your background that's really holding you back, then you might want to see a psychologist just to talk it through. So, I mean, if you're not overcoming it just because you kind of lack sedation, sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't, you know,
I'm not really putting in the effort.
Yeah. But if you're really putting in the effort and you can't overcome this within a year, I would suggest talking to a psychologist or psychiatrist.
All right. Any patron saints? I mean, you obviously mentioned Our Lady. That's, you know, at
Our
the
Lady,
top of the list.
Saint Aloysius is the great patron saint of purity. Just a tremendous purity. You could always pray to St. Augustine too, you know, Lord, help me to be chaste, but not yet, which kind of explains this deep desire, deep desire that we have. So, and maybe even John Paul II, you know, with all of
the
his theology
of the body. Yeah, no, that's a great recommendation. Father, we've got about a minute left here. Could I ask you to offer a blessing for our listeners?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we end this hour, I ask that you would send a gift of the Holy Spirit to all of our listeners, that they would be able to protect their purity, help overcome it in their own lives, and be able to spread the great gift of knowing God and knowing His love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, Father Eric, for being with us. Always great to talk with you. Look forward to speaking with you again here sometime soon. If you want to find the podcast, it'll be posted here shortly at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. And of course, if you joined us late, I very much encourage you to go back and listen to the entire program. Share it with somebody who might be struggling in this area. Wonderful resource for them. Hope you can join us tomorrow. The gospel reading that we have is talking about the paralytic man lowered down through the ceiling. Jesus heals him. We're going to talk about those miracles that we experience in our life when we're praying for a miracle. Talk to you tomorrow here on The Inner Life.